I'm also recording, and it is on Samsung. I'll clap for fun. I'll get the script up, and then I'll shut up and let you go. Okay.
That is a banger by the Tintings, by the way.
The what?
Shut up and let me go. Hey! Duh, 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 duh. It's a
banger. I genuinely only knew that Tintings had one song. I don't know any of their other songs. I'm gonna put this on my phone now, so that when I leave to go to the pub, I listen to this song on the tube.
Shut up and let me go. Yeah.
I probably have heard it, but just not realised it was the Tintings. The Tintings. Yeah, shut up and let me go.
And then do you want another one? FIFA 12 classic, Hands.
Oh, that is on here as well. Okay, I'm going to listen to the Tintings, it would appear. Hands is scheduled, and also that's not my name, obviously, because that's a banger. Right, okay, I'm ready to go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. And we are, apparently, Sus are back. I hope you enjoyed that cold open as well, after me and Tom discussing the Tintings, because, I mean, just another classic. I do you know what? I'd like to include this as a segment every week, because I've seen someone do it on TikTok and I think it's really good, and I really appreciate some of the tunes. I think every week to start the show, we should come in, each of us, with a forgotten banger. So okay. The plan has to be one which people don't, you won't hear it if you go out. Two, it has to be a banger. And it's sort of one where it's like, you know all the words. That's like three. So it's like, oh yeah, if this game on, you'd sing along, you know how it works. So this week's banger is Shut Up and Let Me Go by the Tintings, I think is fair to say. But then in future, we can sort of go, you know, we've got different ones. Wow, that's bright. Tom just turned on his light. That's a shock. But yeah, are we up for that every week?
We can try it, yeah.
We'll probably forget about it after 3 weeks, but you know, we'll give it a go. But yeah, we are so back apparently. Chelsea putting in the best performance of the season right when it matters. I was in the group chat with the score because we were obviously discussing what we're going to do post-show. And I was just, before the game started, I was so adamant that I just thought we'd be absolutely battered. I said, I think we're going to lose this 3-1. And it turns out it was actually the reverse. We've gone to Aston Villa, who have played pretty much a full-strength side. In fact, I think it was a full-strength side, minus maybe Ezri Konsa. And we've absolutely played them off the park.
Yeah. Yeah, we hammered them. Absolutely hammered them. Battered them. Villa who? yeah, that was just fun. Not the first time. That's harsh. It was definitely the game I enjoyed the most watching all season, and probably the game I expected to be punching the wall the most. I thought this was going to be the one where I come in and I'm like, no, I'm so done with this man. Get him out. Done. But I was like, you know, is that what's been brewing all along? And I said it last night on Twitter, and I maintain it now. There is no coincidence to me that this performance came about when, and actually I'm going to change, I said originally it was just Sterling, but Thiago Silva also didn't play, and those two centre-backs together actually look quite good. I've been slagging them off a lot, and together they look pretty good. But yeah, Sterling and Silva didn't play. The young lads played with desire, with hunger, with real pace on the counter-attack and just generally. And we hammered them. They couldn't deal with it. I thought they were also very poor, to be fair. But I guess that comes from the early pressure we put on them. I thought Gallagher was brilliant as well. A lot of slack been put on him.
His face. His face when that free kick went in. I was assist to all of us. Oh, I was like,
Yeah, let's get to that. I mean, Enzo's free kick, absolutely stunning. The celebration, fantastic. Apparently staying at Villa Park, which is interesting. But I liked the sentiment behind it and obviously what's been going on mainly on social media in the past few days before that. So that's a big goal for him. And I think he had probably his best game for Chelsea. A real look, what do you want from me? This is me kind of game. I thought Caicedo was good too. I thought they played really well together as the pivot that we wanted them to do the whole time. I can't fault anyone, to be honest. Although, again, and I say this a bit tongue-in-cheek, but conceding when those two older lads have come onto the pitch. Well, you know, obviously not their fault, but coincidence.
That one was like, I don't know if you could do anything about that. If I'm Petrovic, that's...
It's a bit of an annoying one. Because that's the only blot, really, on what was a perfect display, is conceding that. You know, De Sassi putting his body on the line when we're 3-0 up to stop a goal earlier on, and then that goes in. It's a bit annoying, but is what it is. We've hammered him. Mm. We've got Leeds at home in the fifth round. So a real chance to make it to the sixth round, which I believe is the quarterfinals, although I always get confused by it, but I think that's the last eight. So, yeah, in a good spot to go deep into another cup, which is fun.
Yeah, I saw Dan said it, son of Chelsea, Obviously, another member of the Sideline Network, by the way. So make sure you go and check out all of Dan's stuff. And he's been so supportive of the Echo, coming into every single one of the post-match spaces and really like getting involved. And we really, really appreciate it. And I know, I think we, I might have mentioned it already, but I'm not sure. I'm just so wrapped up in talking about the game. Big thank you for 20,000 listeners, by the way. That is amazing. 20,000 streams. And I want to, the big thing I want to say, I want a big thank you to Tom, because he's been chasing me to the podcast for 3 years, and I've gone, maybe, not sure, let's see. And then everything has come together so perfectly over the past few months, and he's been absolutely amazing stepping up.
We chose a nice, you know, quiet season to do it, so that's all good.
Exactly that. But obviously, you know, back to the game, the tangent as per. But, you know, Dan was saying on Twitter that he feels that this is probably the best performance that Chelsea have had since that away performance in Madrid in 2022, when we got robbed of I think it was a trip to what would have been the semi-finals, when Marcus Alonso quote-unquote handballed it and he didn't. And I can't disagree. I think that it was a really good performance. But like I said in the post-match space, just to temper expectations, we've seen this before this season. We've seen it against Manchester City. We saw it against Arsenal. Let's just bring it in, relax, and let's just focus on the next step. I think that's a big thing. I just want to see improvement. And I think, you know, that is probably the blueprint. Get it? The blueprint. You should probably go listen to that. for this season and future performances going forward. And it has to simply come into play against Crystal Palace on Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's it. It's, we know, we've spoken about it before. It's obviously a young squad. The average age of the team, the starting 11 yesterday was 23.3. So obviously a very young team. And there are going to be inconsistencies. That's natural. That happens. But I think when you can put in a performance like that, that is the ceiling. If you can hit that ceiling half a dozen times and you get near it the rest of the time, and then obviously you're going to have a few bad days, then we're going to be a side that's much closer to where we want to be than where we are now. I think a brilliant win. First time for a while with this team that I've been genuinely really happy. Like, obviously we've had some wins, but, you know, 1-0, 2-1, narrow wins, like the 3-2 at Luton, where I wasn't happy about that. I was relieved. This was a proper, like, wow, this is what we can do. And I hope Poch has taken some lessons in that, you know, playing a left back at left back, playing a right back at right back, playing two centre backs who have played together a lot at Monaco before together, playing the midfielders where they want to play. And the one thing that I thought was a bit weird about that team pre-match was Nico Jackson on the left, but he was absolutely brilliant. So that's another addition. I think that starting 11 has scope to play quite a lot together. Obviously, you've still got Nkunku, but there's no point rushing him back. Let's get him fit. By the way, one of the best touches I've ever seen yesterday late on in the game. Just generally great vibes. As I say, one blotch was the late concession. But other than that, we move. And positive vibes going into Monday night.
Exactly. I mean, it seems like we're going to be a cup team this year, which isn't a bad thing. Chelsea and cups seems to be a little bit of a important history. Again, blueprint, have a listen. 1997 onwards, Chelsea and our relationship with cups seems to be pretty good. So let's see if we can continue this form and continue all the way to Wembley in an FA Cup potentially, and obviously in the Carabao coming up at the end of the month. But let's focus and look forward now. Let's enjoy ourselves and put pressure on the teams above us. That's what we can ask for. But we will move swiftly into Act 1. As usual, the fun part. And this will be pretty good. And obviously we've chatted about Villa, but let's ask the fun question for the week. So Tom, what is it that you want to know?
Well, unless you want to name crystals, now Jordan's not on this pod, but he seems to like that kind of stuff, so he might have been able to. Or name...
Oh, I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, exactly, all that nonsense. or name, you know, your favourite palaces. Then I've got no name game for this week. Although Louis looks inquisitive here. Maybe he does have a favourite palace, which is an interesting thing to have up your sleeve. I'm going to let you go for it and see if you can name one. I personally don't. Although I probably have to say Buckingham due to my British loyalties, but I wouldn't say I feel that particularly strongly.
I mean, I know I could think of plenty of better things to do with Buckingham Palace personally, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, crystals, I mean, what, diamonds? You've got rubies. Oh, I'm out.
Sapphires.
I mean, palaces are probably, I'd say my favourite one's probably the palace that was in Naboo. That's a pretty cool palace.
Nice.
But obviously it doesn't exist. Does a Death Star count as a palace?
If you want it to.
Yeah, probably. I'm just going down the Star Wars route now. Yeah, that's really hit that point. Yeah. Yeah, so if you want that sort of stuff, go and read a newspaper or check your app for your Cancer Moon Rising and all that stuff, because me and Tom can't do it.
Nor do we want to, I'd like to say.
Exactly. Let's just move swiftly on. Let's just leave it. Let's get to football. It's the best part of the show. It's the place with an intro. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yeah, we're back, and I've gone back to full-length Stat Shaggers after the brief mini-shaggers for the Villa replay. That was due to the fact that we played them only a week prior.
Hang on. Choose your words carefully.
A mini-Stat Shaggers segment. Happier now?
There we go. That's better. Yeah.
Yes, back to full-length, as we're back to playing a team we didn't play a week ago. We did only play Palace at the end of December, so it's not that long ago, but we're back to doing what we love. And what an honour it is to do so. As I say, fun one to research, as we've had, so much dominance over Palace over the last years. Over all the years, in fact. We've only lost 12 times since our first meeting back in 1906, which ironically was a 7-1 loss in the FA Cup. And since the turn of the millennium, we've actually only lost 3 times against Palace. The last one of those came in October 2017. Remember that one? Probably. Incumbent manager Roy Hodgson. With Palace in 20th, winless after their first 7 games, following the shambolic, disastrous, terrible, whatever word you want to use, start to the season from Frank de Boer. Lost all 4 of his first games and got the sack, which I believe still is the record for the first earliest sacking of a permanent manager, just 4 matches. We lost that game 2-1, and Palace ended up being comfortably safe that year. But since then, it's been plain sailing for the Blues. We've won all 13 matches since, including the 2-1 win on the 27th of December, and Noni Madueke's penalty heroics coming on, winning the penalty, scoring the penalty, and we won that one, which was an important victory. And at Selhurst Park too, we're pretty happy there. The last 5 games, we've won all of them. And even if you take it back to 10 matches, we've still won 8 of those, losing only 2 in 2017 and 2014. So I think it's fair to say that Selhurst Park is a bit of a happy hunting ground for Chelsea, although whisper that quietly, our away form hasn't been great recently. The manager battle. Well, I've done this as Poch versus Palace. Poch, also a big fan of playing against Crystal Palace. He's faced Palace more times than any other club outside of the Big Six, 16 times. And of those 16 matches against Palace, he's won 12 of them. Had a pretty good time then, drawing once, losing only 3. 2 of those losses as well, they came in the FA Cup in February 2016 and January 2019, obviously when he was at Tottenham. And he also lost 2-1 in the league with Spurs at Selhurst Park in January 2015. His last 3 games against Palace, played 3, won 3, goals 4-8, goals away 1. So, all signs looking good. And then onto Palace themselves, their recent form, well... It's not been great. Their Twitter actually has been even more toxic than ours, which is saying something. Yeah.
Benj has not been happy.
Yeah, neither has my boss, who is a Seats Palace season ticket holder, and he is very much Roy out. The 4-1 hammering at rivals Brighton didn't really do much to help those matters. And you have to think, had it not been for those 2 wins over Sheffield United, who seemed destined to go down, and currently struggling Brentford, 3-2 and 3-1 respectively, they probably would have a different manager in the dugout now. They are their only win since November, and they have shipped 11 in their last 3. A 5-0 loss against Arsenal, the 3-2 win over Sheffield United, and a 4-1 loss against Brighton. So our defence hasn't been great. Theirs, is painful. And as we'll talk about a little bit later as well, they have some injuries to arguably their 3 best players, and therefore may be heavily depleted. But let's stop talking about Palace for now. We'll come back to them in the analysis section. And let's go on to the second best segment behind Stat Shaggers, the Echo 11. Back to you in the studio.
I love it. I love it. We're going to have a chat with Jordan, because I feel like we definitely need some more intros. I feel like Echo 11, and I'd love the random question. I want to see if we can get it licensed. Do you remember Alan Partridge when he did the big question on that radio show, on the segment? So the big question. Yep. It's like, I'd love to see something like that every week. What is your favourite diamond?
Let's play the name game.
Get that. To be fair, I feel like these big questions, I'd actually love if we could put it on Twitter. Obviously, make sure you follow us at the Chelsea Echo. And I'd love to get like people just putting random things in there, just in the replies. It'd be a lot of fun. So if you want to get involved with that, obviously make sure you head across the Echo. But more importantly, Echo 11. Thomas.
Yes.
Let's get straight into it. Do we just say the same 11 that played against Aston Villa and move on?
Yes, that's the segment over.
Cool. That's the Echo 11. Thank you very much.
The only reason you might change it is if there are any injuries. Now, Badia Shield went off not overly comfortable. Other than that, I don't think there are any injuries or any issues. I think you play the exact same 11, and I think if they're fit, and I think you say, look, there's your template. This is Palace. They're not in good form. Obviously, it's going to be a hostile atmosphere. Monday night, Selhurst Park are going to be baying for blood. They don't like Chelsea. Who does? And they're not happy with their manager. So the atmosphere is going to be very, very feisty, I would say. But ultimately, at the moment, Palace are not very good. As I say, they're missing some key players. Might as well stop keeping it in suspense. They're missing Elise, they're missing Eze, they're missing Guehi, probably all three of them. They're all sort of 50-50s. Elise came on for, I think it was 9 minutes in their loss to Brighton.
Elise might be out for... He might be out for 3 weeks or three months. That's what I was.
Well, he has a hamstring issue, so it seems highly unlikely he'll be playing. He came on, as I say, at half time when they were 3-0 down against Brighton, and then stopped running and signaled to the bench that he was unfit to continue. I think it was after 7 minutes into the second half. Either way, interesting decision. Eze injured, and Guehi also went off, so they are depleted. This is an opportunity to go back to back proper big away wins, and I think that 11 is equipped to do it. I'd be interested to see what happens with Nkunku. I think at the moment you go, we're gonna really, really keep your minutes reduced just to make sure you're properly fully fit. So have another 20, half an hour. And I'm enjoying seeing Alfie Gilchrist get his little cameos and keep Sterling and Silva on the bench. Sorry, it's harsh on Silva, because obviously I love the bloke. He's a club legend, but I think his age has finally caught up with him. He is 39 after all.
Yeah.
Sterling, on the other hand, I just think his attitude is a problem. So keep him on the bench. Let Nonny cook.
In Sterling's defence, I don't think it's an attitude issue. I just think it's the way he is. He doesn't have a bad attitude. He's just, that's the sort of player he is.
Mm.
And that's like, he seems like a good bloke. His heart's in the right place. His head's maybe not. I just think the way he plays just doesn't fit. He's always been lazy. That's always been how he plays. He just, trundles around, and that's just not what we need. So, I think in his defence, I don't think it's that. I just think maybe he just needs to, if he does, he needs to rethink his options and rethink how he gets into this team. Because if we think about it, at the beginning of the season, he was talking about that again. Was it after the Liverpool game? So like, he was running at people, he was going for it. It's like, okay, so what's changed? Why are you adapting? So I do think there's a player there, but whether or not it's in a Chelsea shirt, I don't think it will be.
That's true.
We'll have to see. I think, look, you mentioned Elise, right? And I do want to talk about this, because obviously a very, very good friend of mine is Benny Esther on Twitter. He's very funny. He's a massive Palace fan. I was actually talking to him about this. You'll be getting this on Saturday. So I was speaking to him about this on Wednesday night after we'd played. And I was going, what is going on at Palace? And he's sort of, he's very much Parrish-ing, right? Steve Parrish, by the way, what he's done for Crystal Palace is amazing. Nothing short of that, by the way. And if you haven't seen it yet, I strongly recommend you watch the Amazon documentary When Eagles Dare, because it kind of details how Steve Parrish and this group of fans, if we're going to be honest, saved Crystal Palace and has taken them to where they are. But the issue Crystal Palace have right now is almost quite similar to what we had maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I'm not... it sounds very flip-flappy, but it's kind of a situation where it's like the Pochettino situation. I think he's going to be here to the end of the season, and then yeah, they review it. We'll just see what happens, but you know, it is what it is. But they're in the position of they don't know who the better coach is, who fits these players, who they could go out there and get. And that's why Roy hasn't gone. Realistically, Roy Hodgson, if I was him, I wouldn't have signed that contract at the end of last season. I'd have gone out on a high. I think he did a really good job steadying the ship. I think that was what made him so valued at Palace. And then they just went, cool, new contract. After that, off you go. It's like, okay, that's a safe option. But it's proven that it's not been as valuable. I mean, the quality of player they have. I mean, Eze, before he went off injured in midweek, scored 2 goals. Elise, look, we were looking at him, and I've been looking at Elise for years. I love him. I think he's quality. The way that he plays football, he is a Champions League player. Like, we're going to be probably up against Manchester City and Manchester United in the summer going to try and sign him. And, you know, I hope he could come to Chelsea. I'd love to see him in a Chelsea shirt again. But let's remember, he was there as a kid. But, you know, obviously we never saw him. But, you know, again, see him in a Chelsea shirt. But realistically, I don't think we're going to get that. But, you know, the quality of player that they're missing now, the quality of player that Crystal Palace have, they shouldn't be in the position they're in. They're a fantastic team on paper. You know, Joachim Henderson and Mark Gahey, on their day for me, outside of the obvious, and, you know, Liverpool and Man City, I genuinely feel that's the best defensive partnership in the league. I genuinely believe that. And I'd love to be challenged on it, but, you know...
Spurs, definitely. Arsenal.
Spurs, Arsenal? Well, yeah, but I feel like Gabriel is saved a lot by Saliba.
Maybe,
I think,
but
Spurs, we haven't seen enough of that defensive partnership, in my opinion.
But statistically, you know, those two sides, Spurs less so, but Arsenal have the best defence statistically in the league this season. Newcastle as well have been very good. I appreciate what you're saying. They're better than they are, but I think they're probably the higher end of mid-table in terms of best defences in the league. But
That's fair enough.
That's an opinion.
Yeah, and you know, pins like arseholes, everyone's got one. But you know, it's. I do think that Crystal Palace are in a very awkward position, and they are in trouble. And I think it's a case of people are talking about Steve Cooper going into that job. I don't think he's the right fit. I think he, you know, the amount of money that he spent at Nottingham Forest, and I think it was him who did it. You know, the quality of team that he built at Forest, you know. That's another situation where it's going, okay, ooh, why is that the situation that they're in? But then also they've got Doogie Friedman, who's done a fantastic job identifying some great players. So, you know, it's a case of they've got to understand where they're at and re-establish very quickly. And I don't know if you could tell, I've got a little bit of a soft spot for Palace. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting game. It's one of my favourite games of the season. It's going to get to annoy one of my best friends continuously. But anyway, with all of that said, you know, we've shown what we're capable of as a side. Let's go and get it. As Tom said, it's a template. They're depleted. We've got to see what happens. But, you know, there is no leeway now, really. They've shown what they're capable of. So, you know, how confident do you think that we can go and do it? Or have you got that little bit in the back of your head like me, which isn't too sure?
What, back up that intensity?
Mm-hmm.
I think they can do it. It's whether they do it, obviously, is the question. I'm gonna back them. They've just put in the best performance, so why not? Even if, as I say, they can't quite hit that ceiling again, but they get close to it, still would be a good performance. I think we can definitely put Palace to the sword. As I say, we get one up against them, two up against them. Their heads are gonna roll. They're missing their talisman. I don't actually know who would play centre-back alongside Anderson with Gahey out. I have no idea.
There's a young lad that just signed. I think he filled in
right.
In the last fixture, so it'll probably be him again.
Yeah, so their midfield's okay. You know, people like Jeffrey Schlupp. Decore's out as well, who's been a big loss. You know, they didn't manage to get Calvin Phillips, who they wanted. So their midfield's a bit... Well, it's missing some big names. You know, Odson Edwards been okay. Mateta's been probably the best he's been at Palace this season, but still he's not... particularly threatening. I think they're just missing their key men. I think they'll really struggle if we can get ahead of them. They're probably going to really sit back. Proper Roy Hodgson, you know, my boss is very negative about Palace and the way they play because he thinks they just sit back when they actually have the talent to be able to get forward. But I think in the game like this, that's probably exactly what they need to do. As we've spoken about 175 million times this season, we have struggled with low blocks. So that is what I would do if I were Palace. But yeah, hopefully intensity, go out there, get the win. And, well, that'll be good, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be. So, you know, let's see what happens. I'm never positive going into games, as everyone who listens very well knows. So I'm just hoping that we continue. That's all I have, hope. But it's the hope that kills you. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Anyway, on that delightfully positive note, we'll end the pod. So thank you very much for listening. This has been a Sideline production. I hope you enjoy the game as much as we do on Monday night. Enjoy your weekend of football, by the way, as well. And enjoy your weekend, because Chelsea are not playing, which means it can't be ruined. So go out Saturday night, have a nice walk on Sunday, you know, speak to people. Because, you know, obviously when Chelsea lose, me and Tom don't really like talking. We just kind of go into a ball and go in our hovel and just sort of cry ourselves to sleep at night. But, you know, go and talk to people. Enjoy yourselves.
Enjoy the Six Nations. Enjoy the Super Bowl, for those who celebrate. Yeah, up with Chelsea.
Who have you got for the Super Bowl? Because someone asked me and I don't watch it, so I don't know.
Definitely. I'm going 49ers, but I don't want the Chiefs to win. I'm going 49ers anyway. I think they've been the best team this year.
What Tom said. Go 49ers. Yay! Football! Anyway, this has been a Sideline production. Make sure you follow all the socials and get involved. I think Tom is going to post the weird question just before we record, like a day before we record, so we can get some interesting answers. So if you want to get involved in the weird question, make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo on Twitter and turn on notifications, because we're going to be tweeting a lot more and doing a lot more stuff. So please, please, please come and get involved as well, and get involved in the post-match show. Even if you don't want to talk, please come and listen. The Score and Rambles are doing a fantastic job on that, and they deserve all the love they're getting at the moment. So thanks to them, and thanks to Tom, and thanks to the guys behind the scenes that this show and this podcast is doing so well. So please make sure you follow everybody involved with the Echo. Engage with the Echo. Tell your pals, tell your family, tell your nan, tell your dog. Get everyone an account. Do whatever you can to get the Echo out there even more. A big, big thank you again for 20,000 streams. It means a lot to all of us who work so hard. I want to keep on giving you guys more and more content. So spread the word, get involved, and we will see you later. Ta-da.